chill of the day that he's a little naive about foreign policy. Whether it's indicating to the communists in Italy that we ought to extend a hand of friendship. I don't know how that makes the non-communists feel in Italy. I'd feel a little uneasy. Or whether it's suggesting in advance how he might deal with Yugoslavia in case of some intervention by Soviet Russia. That makes me feel a little bit uneasy, since six presidents in the past have talked about the independence of Yugoslavia. And I just suggest that we shouldn't tip our hand in advance. Now, maybe Governor Carter thinks that's necessary. Maybe it's more important the Soviet Union know more about our foreign policy from Governor Carter than we know about his foreign policy. But we're engaged in very serious business. We're talking about the freedom of the world. And I've said, and I'll repeat very quickly, probably a great many men in this room have lived through a war and fought a war. You may have sons, and I see one or two might have grandsons who are concerned about the future of our nation. They may be working, they may be in college. And I just suggest if there's one reason to go out and work for Gerald Ford, it's an overriding reason. It's because we're at peace in the world. No one's being drafted. We have our problems. We know the unemployment rates are too high. But inflation is coming down. Inflation affects every American, particularly those on fixed incomes. And President Ford has cut it more than half. Yes, we have all those problems. But we also have the blessing of being at peace. And Governor Carter talks about a change, and some of the Carter supporters talk about a change. Well, I don't want to be shortchanged. I want strong leadership. Yes, strong moral leadership. I want to be strong militarily for the sake of peace. And let me remind this audience that it was this past year, this year, where for the first time in 10 years we have real growth in our defense budget because of the personal efforts of President Ford. Now, we don't want to spend your money in the Pentagon or for defense or anywhere else just to be spending your money. That's not the point. The point is that we are the leader of the free world. And many enslaved peoples around the world and many who've lost their freedom and lost their liberty look to us for hope and look to us for leadership and look to us for strength. And I don't find that strength coming from the other side. When Governor Carter said last year cut defense spending $15 billion, Governor Carter says this year cut it $5 to $7 billion. And my counterpart, Senator Mondale, who's my friend, who has a totally different philosophy on defense, who's voted against nearly every new weapon system and for every defense budget cut in the Senate for a number of years. And I just suggest, what's so wrong with being at peace? What's wrong with President Ford's leadership? He's had experience. He's demonstrated it. He's met with 120-some foreign leaders. He's visited some 14 foreign countries. And we're respected. Yes, respected by our friends and respected by our potential adversaries around the world because we're strong and because we have strong leadership. And I say yes to Republicans, of course, but also Democrats and independents. And the polls show that women, by and large, make up the bulk of the undecided vote. They still remember Vietnam. They still remember Pearl Harbor. They're concerned about peace, and they're concerned about the future. And if I had one message to leave this group, it would be to take a look at President Ford's record. Just take a look at the world today. Your son's not being dragged off to fight in a war. There aren't any memorial services to be held in Erie next week for someone coming back. No one is being hospitalized. No one has been wounded. There are no body counts on the nightly news of how many Americans lost their lives somewhere or how many were drafted and how many volunteered and how many left the community and left the workforce and left their education. I think that's progress. I think that's remarkable. I think that's what all Americans want. We have it under President Ford. Why take a chance? Why gamble on untested leadership? I don't see any reason to change just for the sake of change for some unknown quantity. So it's good to stop by and interrupt your lunch. And is this a fundraising event?
It's the largest fundraiser I've seen in 6 years.
Well, as I said, I'm touched to be here, but probably not as deeply touched as you were. So I don't know. So. And don't worry about me. Don't have to work for me, because I've figured out if Ford makes it, I'm going to make it. There's no way. There's no way that he can win and I can lose. It's a package deal. You get a package deal, and it just seems to me that in the next few days that things are really moving. The state of Pennsylvania is most important. President Ford's in Pittsburgh at this very moment. I'm in Erie, and Senator Mondale is somewhere. And I don't know where he is. I mean, I never have really known where he is. But I know where he was a week ago Friday. We were down in Houston. We had our, whatever you call it, debate or whatever. I picked up a little cold there standing in a draft for all that time. But it's coming around. I'm getting my voice back. I've been drinking a lot of pineapple juice. And it's a lot better for you than peanut butter, because it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth. And that's one advantage of the fruit juice. But I say very earnestly, just take a look at our record. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. And I assume nearly everyone in this room has. I see one or two probably who haven't. But I don't recognize them. But President Ford is really a good, decent man. And I just believe that come next Tuesday, that big bulk of undecided voters are going to walk into that booth and reflect about America, reflect about peace in the world and our role in it. They're going to think about their neighbors or their sons or their grandsons, and they're going to vote for President Ford. They're going to do it with pride. And then we're going to have leadership of President Ford for 4 years. And we're going to see America grow and America prosper. And we're going to solve the problem of unemployment. We're going to continue to whittle away at inflation. We're going to bring about real tax reform. And that means tax cuts for middle-income Americans, not tax increases, as Governor Carter advocates. And we're going to take care of senior citizens, and we're going to provide catastrophic health care, because we're concerned about Americans. And we're going to try to keep our faith in the Democrats for Ford and others who support President Ford. And for that, we're very grateful. We're grateful for when someone in the other party stands up for America, stands up for what's best in America, and the best thing for America is the election of President Ford. Thank you very much. I want to thank the Pro-Life Group for sponsoring, or at least helping with the luncheon. I appreciate that very much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to some Republicans and some Independents and some Democrats. I think this election is very important to all Americans. I happen to believe it's a very critical choice we'll make on next Tuesday. And I want to take just a few minutes of your time, if I can, to talk about what I feel are some of the important issues. I'm not going to suggest that anything wrong with Mr. Carter. I just suggest that we have a good president, President Ford, who understands America, who understands the need for a strong America, who understands leadership, and who has experience. And I think that's important to all of us, regardless of our party. And that's why I'm proud to be running with President Ford, proud to be out doing what I can to make certain that he's elected next Tuesday. And I would just ask for your help. Now, I said a few moments ago, and I'll repeat here again very quickly, I don't quite understand Governor Carter's foreign policy. I don't know what he means. On the subject of Eastern Europe, he has said that a revolt against Soviet rule in any Eastern European country would be, and these are his words, would be an internal affair of that country, and as I assume from that, none of our business. On the American reaction to a Soviet invasion of Yugoslavia, he has said that the Soviets need not worry about any military response on our part, and at best, this reflects inexperience. At worst, it suggests that Mr. Carter has not grasped the fundamental tenet of a successful foreign policy, that you don't tell your opponent how far you can be pushed without adverse consequences. And I just think it's a very dangerous mistake you make when you tell someone in advance what you will or you will not do. And again, I think this is an indication of why we need to consider very seriously the candidacy of President Ford as opposed to the candidacy of Governor Carter. I feel very strongly that the Ford foreign policy is based on strength. And I say strength for peace. That's the only way I use the word strength, military strength, moral strength, strength for peace. And although military strength is the foundation of our policies with respect to the Soviet Union, there are other aspects of these policies which have not been stressed sufficiently in this campaign. Principal among these is an increase in communication and trade with the nations of Eastern Europe. These have expanded substantially under President Ford's leadership for two reasons. First, we hope to improve the standard of living of the peoples of Central and Eastern Europe. Some improvement has already occurred, but much, much more is necessary. Second, the growth of trade and communication with the West will give these peoples the economic strength which will enable them gradually, but ultimately, to cut their ties to the Soviet Union's economy. And this is a slow and a patient policy, but one which will set in motion great forces of change in the Soviet-dominated Europe. In the long run, it is the only policy which can bring freedom to the peoples of Central and Eastern Europe without a direct confrontation with the Soviet Union. And as you know, President Ford has visited both Romania and Poland. He has talked to the leaders and the people of both countries. He is first president to treat these countries of Eastern and Central Europe as distinct entities, not as indistinguishable parts of the Soviet monolith. And I say he should be given an opportunity to continue these policies. And let me conclude with just one word. I know that a great many Americans are concerned about the election. Some, on the other hand, are very apathetic. Some don't see any need to participate. Some say, well, there really isn't any choice. I don't like either candidate, or for some reason, they don't plan to do anything next Tuesday. Let me say one word to the mothers and grandmothers and the young men in this audience. We are at peace in the world. No Americans are being sent off, taken out of school, taken away from their jobs, sent off to some far-off land to fight some war that we don't understand or don't appreciate. I just suggest I have for the past few weeks, and I will all this week. Governor Carter screams for a change. I like peace. I don't want a change. I want President Ford's leadership. I want his strong hand. I want a strong America. I want a strong America for the sake of peace. That's not a partisan statement. It's one we're all concerned about or should be concerned about. And so I say to the mothers and the grandmothers and, yes, the fathers and the grandfathers, when you turn on your radio or pick up your newspaper or turn on your TV set these days, you don't hear about any body counts, how many Americans were killed, how many of the enemy were killed. You don't read about how many were drafted or how many were shipped off or how many are coming home to be buried, because we are at peace. And I think that's important. And I just ask you to keep that in mind. We're not going to be strong in the world. We're not going to offer a hope to those who yearn for freedom in the world unless we're strong militarily. And I say take a look at Governor Carter's proposals to cut $15 billion, he said, last year out of defense. $5 to $7 billion this year. Take a look at Senator Mondale's record, probably the worst defense record in the Senate of the United States. Now, if we want to be strong, strong for the sake of peace, then we owe it to ourselves, whether we're Democrats or Republicans or Independents, to take a hard look at the leadership, take a hard look at the records of Governor Carter and President Ford. That's all we ask. You make the judgment. You make the final decision. We want you to make that judgment based on the facts. The facts indicate more strongly than I can say that President Ford has offered leadership, he's demonstrated leadership, he has the experience. Part of the result is that we're at peace in the world, we're respected by our friends, we're respected by our potential adversaries, and I say the real choice for America, the real choice for the free world, is the election of President Ford. Thank you very much.
We're glad to have the Polish Falcons welcome us to come in as a group to sponsor a coffee for you because you are such a pro-life person yourself. I'd like to present you with this rosebud boutonniere, which is a symbol of love and life to the pro-life movement. And as you're well aware, we come every anniversary of the Supreme Court decision and deliver thousands of them to your office. And we hope that you will be successful in this election and carry the pro-life story to the whole nation.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and I really appreciate, as I said at the outset, the opportunity to be here and to visit with members of the Falcons or guests or whatever. We like that independent spirit. I understand the Falcons are not known as a Republican hangout, but today maybe we can change some of that. Thank you very much.